Amen.
Take your Bible, please, if you would, and we're going to go to Matthew chapter number 14. And if you were here last week and you came back this week, good for you. And this series is a bit deeper, and I was speaking with some of our newer Christians and some of our more mature Christians, and on both sides of the aisle, it was, all right, Pastor, that was a little bit scary. And so we're going to do the second part of this series today, and I think it'll be a blessing. Keep an open mind to the idea that God wants to grow you, and growth is never a comfortable thing. If you can remember long, long ago when you were a child, the growing pains you'd have as your knees would hurt and your legs would stretch and things of that nature, so it is in Christianity. God's desire is not for you to stay where he found you. God's desire is for you to continue growing forward, and no matter where you are today, if you're brand new, I mean, you've been in church for a couple weeks, this is all scary and new, God wants to grow you. Or if you've been here and you are, you know, the person who taught Sunday school this morning in one of our many classes, or maybe you're a deacon, or maybe you've been coming to church and you basically were born in the church nursery, God still wants to grow you. Across the board this morning, God desires for you to have a deeper, more meaningful relationship with him, no matter where that is. If you find yourself in the very, very shallow end of Christianity, and I don't mean that word shallow like we would take it, right? Empty, hollow, superficial. I don't mean that at all. I mean that when we're born into Christ, we're all born in the very, very shallow end of faith. And learning to trust him is scary in every single step. But the truth of the matter is, the longer you serve him, that fear doesn't go away completely because he's going to call you to deeper areas and deeper waters in your faith. And so last week we began this new sermon series entitled Deeper Water, and it is a series about living in the deeper end of faith. And we all start out, like I just said, in the shallow end where we're learning how to operate in water. Think about a little kid who gets into the pool for his very first time. He is out of his element, right? We were born with legs for a reason, right? We weren't born with gills or fins. We were born to walk on land. But a little kid who gets into a pool has to learn how to operate out of his element. And when we were born, ladies and gentlemen, we were born dead in trespasses and sin. And we were good at that, right? We were good at selfishness. We were good at pride. We were good at operating where we were in control and everything that was done for our own self-service. And we were proficient in selfishness, skilled in pride, serving ourselves. Revenge was just kind of second nature. But once we got saved, we got taken out of our element we were born in and placed into an element that is not a natural one to us, and that would be the element of faith. And obviously, symbolically, we're talking about that being water, and faith becomes deeper the longer that you serve him. And I am so encouraged by the new people who are in our church, and there's always a steady flow of that, and God is blessing them. And learning how to swim in the shallow end is a scary, scary thing, but like we discussed, there exists a deeper end of faith that God desires for all of us. And let me just give you a brief review. Last week, we kind of used this illustration of a pool, right? There are kind of three sides of any pool. There's the shallow end. There's what we named the slope. And then there is the deep end. But beyond that, even, there is this deeper area still represented by the deepest of oceans of God's will, a place where you cannot touch, a place that does not have walls, a place where you cannot reach the bottom or hold your breath long enough to swim from one side to the other. And that area, that deep, deep water, is what this sermon series is about. And so no matter where you're at in your walk of faith, I encourage you to trust God for deeper things. Wherever you are, you may be the person who reads their Bible every single day. Well, trust God that he'll make that every single day a meaningful every single day. Trust God for something greater and something deeper, because faith really is an adventure. And it requires some courage. It requires some letting go of the wall. It requires some vulnerability and some giving up of your own control. But faith is what pleases God. Scripture tells us without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That sounds like an incomplete statement. It's really not. It says that when we come to God, we must have faith that he alone is God, and that he can control the waters, and that he is in control of everything we see and everything we know. So let me ask you the question, let me ask you a question that will help guide our thoughts for this morning. Here's our question, the first one this morning. How do we end up in deeper waters? There are a couple ways. I've got three of them before we pray this morning. There are really three ways we end up in deeper water. Sometimes life will just drag us into the deep end, right? Some circumstance will happen, some loss, some trial, some necessity, some burden will happen in your life. And like I said, it's almost like that little kid in the shallow end who some big kid bumped him and he slipped onto the slope and couldn't control himself, and you end up in the deep end of the pool. Sometimes life just does that to us. All right. And I don't know if you've ever experienced setback, maybe you lost a job or, something you were banking on didn't come through. Sometimes life just takes us out there. Sometimes, like we saw last week, God will call us into deeper waters. We saw that in the story of Abraham, where God asked of Abraham something that was really out of his depth. And let me just say this. I say this a lot, but maybe you're new with us on Sunday morning. The verse that we often hear, God will never give you more than you can handle, that's not in the Bible. God will frequently give you more than you can handle. God will frequently take you into depths that are way beyond your control, because life is not about comfort. Life is about our faith and our trust and our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so life and God will frequently drag us into the deeper end of life. And we saw that with the story of Abraham, that sometimes God is going to ask something so costly of us that it will put us dead in the center of some waters that we cannot control. Sometimes he will send us something in our life that will cause us our whole life to be shaken up. I heard this week about a member who just got diagnosed with cancer. Sometimes God will send things in your life, some heartache, some loss, some relationship that is broken. But let me say this, please trust your maker in these times. As scary as they are, we've all gone through some version of that or another. And I can tell my story and you can tell your story. But sometimes it's life that drags us over there. Sometimes it's God who calls us over there. But this morning what we're going to see, there's another way we end up in the deep end. Sometimes we can send ourselves into deeper waters by choosing extreme faith. Okay? I don't mean that it's judgment, right? We made a mistake. Oh, I got too close. I slipped in. I fell into the deeper end. I'm not talking about that. What we're going to see in our story this morning is Peter chose to get into deeper waters. It was absolutely 100% Peter's choosing to step out of a boat onto deep and troubled waters. Listen, not all growth in your Christian life should be imposed from externals. It shouldn't be that God's just trying to push us and keep us and prod us and make us. Sometimes we got to look at the deep end of faith and say, I wonder what it's like out there. You know, I think I might enjoy myself out there. I think that I could get to the edge and jump in and maybe learn some things from God. Listen, we have the option and the opportunity many times to throw ourselves in to a deeper trust with our Creator, such as what we see in the instance of Peter walking on water. Now, you might know that and not know that story very well. We're going to go through it this morning. But really what sticks out to me when I look at this story is that Jesus didn't call Peter out of the boat at first. It wasn't like Jesus walked on the water and said, hey, anybody willing to get out of the boat and trust me? It wasn't even Jesus' idea for Peter to get out of the boat. It was 100% Peter. The storm didn't throw Peter out of the boat. It wasn't like life just happened, Peter got too close to the edge, and there was a big wave, and Peter fell out and stumbled his way across the water. That didn't happen either. So it wasn't God calling Peter. It wasn't life throwing Peter. It was Peter's crazy idea to get out of a boat and walk on deep and troubled waters. So listen, what we see on display is that deep water sometimes in our life is a choice we should make. There will come times, like I've said, where God will come and ask of you something. There will come times when life thrusts you into a deeper faith because it's all you've got. I mean, you got thrown out of the boat. You didn't expect it. You didn't ask for it. You just found yourself in the middle of a situation you couldn't fix. Sometimes life will do that. Trust in those times. Sometimes God will call you out there. But what we see today is a completely different type of faith. Peter didn't have to get out of the boat. Peter wasn't thrown out of the boat. Jesus didn't call Peter out of the boat. It was all Peter's idea. And I think that some in this room, I think all in this room really, need to come to a place where we look at our Creator out there on the storms of life and say, you know, I want to try that. I wonder what it's like to spend time with Jesus in a place where He alone is in complete control and I lose all defenses. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning in our series on deeper water. Let's pray. Father, I ask God that you'd work in us. I pray that you'd help me to be able to focus on this message and no distractions. I pray, God, that you would help us this morning as we really get uncomfortably close to the prospect of self-imposed faith, of asking for something that is above and beyond maybe what you would call us to do. I pray, Lord, that each and every person would consider the idea of learning and leaning on you more because of our own choosing. Because, Father, so often we are selfish. We choose comfort over growth. We choose security over faith. And Father, what we see in this powerful story is a man chose deep waters all on his own. And Father, he was able to experience something that no other human being outside of Christ has ever experienced. And so, Father, would you help us as we study this man's faith this morning, as we look in the Word. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. You're in Matthew chapter 14. Let me give you a brief, we're going to start reading in verse 22, but let me give you a brief backup of what's going on. In chapter number 14, Jesus and his disciples are getting away from everyone. Have you ever had to do that? Jesus did. Jesus and his disciples have just gone through a very difficult season of ministry, a very busy season of ministry. Jesus' own cousin was just beheaded by Herod. He has gone constantly day after day after day after day in ministry. And the Bible tells us that Jesus looks at his disciples and says, hey, we need to take a break. We need to get away. And so they get in a boat and they sail over into an isolated part of the lake there. But the problem is people watched the boat and they followed Jesus and they met him there on land. And so here comes Jesus. He has just fed the 5,000. When they get there, they want to hear him preach. He preaches. He feeds 5,000 people. And finally, he looks at the disciples and says, all right, this didn't work. We tried to get away. We went to another seashore. We went where nobody was. They came. They followed us. Now they're all gone. Let's take a break. Notice what he does in verse number 22. He says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. So Jesus sees these men. He sees their exhaustion. He sees they're carrying the burdens of a difficult ministry. And he says, all right, listen, I'll stay here. I'll send them away. You get in a boat. You go to the other side. I'll meet you over there. Get some rest. Take a nap. We'll see you on the other side of this lake. Look at verse 23. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. Jesus oftentimes got away from the masses to spend time with his Father. And I'll tell you this, if the God-man Jesus needed to get away to spend time with the Father, so do we. And Jesus got away, got into the mountains, and he was praying, and he was up there spending time with his Father, and he was there in that mountain time. But notice what happens in verse number 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. So it's the middle of the night, and here is Jesus up alone, filling his own soul with his Father, and he sees this storm, and he knows that his men are in the middle of this storm. And as a good God, he decides he would go to them. I think a lot of times, because maybe we've heard the story in Sunday school, we kind of reduce this a little bit in our minds subconsciously, maybe not on purpose, but subconsciously, to some form of stunt, right? Jesus was going to walk on water. Nobody had ever done it before. Jesus was going to perform some magic trick, if you will. He was going to flex his power and show the world, I can walk on water too. That's not what happened. Think about it this way. Jesus is up here. He sends his men in a boat. He sees the storm because he's up on the hillside, and he says, I got to go get to those guys. I'll tell you this, Jesus wasn't scared for them because he was God. He knew that they would be okay, but he also knew they were scared. And Jesus coming to his disciples in the shortest way possible was not about him showing how powerful he was, though he did indeed do that. What he was showing us is that he cared about those men. He cared about the fact that those men, they were scared, the rain was coming down, that the winds were contrary, the waves were hitting the boat, and these men were terrified thinking they were going to die. Jesus didn't think they were going to die. He could see the future. And yet he saw their need, he saw their fear and their concern, and he decided to take the shortest path possible to get to them. He wasn't going to hail a boat. He was just going to walk straight across the ocean, even though there were storms and waves and rain and all of that. He was coming to them because they didn't know they were okay. And that really is the heartbeat of deeper water faith. God knows you're okay, but he cares enough to come to you because you don't know that. And so we don't have to have this robust faith that says, I never doubt, I never fear, I am never concerned. Listen, Peter's going to fail after he walks on water, but Jesus is going to be there. Really, the heartbeat and the comfort in all of this deep water faith is that Jesus knows it all and he will come to you. And so Jesus decides to go to them knowing that they're scared, and he takes the fastest possible path to get to them. Notice what happens in verse number 26. And here's where the story, I don't know, I always find humor in this story. Maybe you don't find humor in this. I think this is funny. Look at verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled and saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Now, put yourself on this boat, right? This boat is no bigger than this platform, maybe a little narrower even. And you've got 12 men, many of whom were fishermen. They're grown men. They are no doubt drenched in water, stressed, fatigued, trying to survive in a 30-foot boat in massive waves and massive wind. They've no doubt lowered the sail, and so they're just kind of riding this thing out. And they look up and they see something that they had never heard of, let alone expected to see. They're trying to survive this wave. They're bumping into each other. They're yelling orders, throw this over, just stay alive. And then they look up and they see a figure walking on the water. Can you envision that with me, how wild that would be? I mean, here's the waves, and this figure is moving with the waves as he walks. I mean, it wasn't like a clear path that he walked across. He was walking, the Bible says, on the waves. The rain is coming down almost sideways. They cannot fully make out what that figure is, but something is out there. I don't know if you've ever seen something in the water before, if you've ever gone kayaking, or maybe you've done scuba diving or snorkeling, and you see that shadowy gray figure move through the water. Well, that's a little bit what it feels like. They don't know what's going on, and these men are scared to death, and one of them cries out, it's a ghost, and they're scared to death. Verse 27, I would not have done. Okay, look at verse 27. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. I don't know, if I was Jesus, I would have just taken a couple more steps, making them think it was a ghost. Jesus immediately puts their fears to bed, but I don't know, if it were me, I would have just been like, ooh. I think a little different, I think, but Jesus immediately puts the fears to bed and says, no. It was probably Peter, if I had a best guess, an educated guess. It was probably Peter that thought it was a ghost. But Jesus speaks up, and he calms them down. He says, no, man, it's me. I'm here. Don't be scared. I didn't forget you. I'm right here. I'm not here to scare you. I'm here to bring you peace. And then what happens next in this passage is undoubtedly one of the most ridiculous and irresponsible things any of his disciples is ever recorded as having asked. If you remember those words, irresponsible, ridiculous, kind of crazy and out there, it's what we talked about last week. The idea that you would have faith that somebody would look at, normal people would look at and say, why would you do that? Why would you trust God if you cannot see that much? And what we see here is crazy, mostly because it originated inside of the man on the boat, not from his maker. Look what happens in verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now, hold on. Back up from your familiarity of the scriptures for just a moment. Try to look at this story from, say, Andrew. Andrew is Peter's younger brother, and he is on the boat that night. 5 minutes before Peter calls and says, hey, let me get out of the boat. 5 minutes before, they're all holding to the mast, screaming they're going to die. The storm is going to kill us. They're all panicked. Every one of them, especially probably the tax collectors, you know, the guys who weren't professional sailors. But everyone is scared. There's a ghost that's coming. The ghost is going to kill us. And then Jesus speaks up and says, no. It's me. I'm here. It's Jesus. But I will tell you this from the story. We know that they weren't sure. Because Peter says, if it be thou. And so here on this boat, the lightning is clapping, the thunder is still going off, the rain is still falling, and perhaps the loudest thing on that boat is the silence of everyone wondering, what's really going on? Is that really Jesus on the water? Should we sail to him? Does he need us to rescue him? Is it even him in the first place? And while the entire boat no doubt is contemplating these variables, Peter breaks the silence. You know, if you look through the life of Peter, Peter often broke the silence and said some of the strangest of things. Everyone's scared to death, and Peter's like, hey, if it's you, let me walk on the water. Well, rewind in your mind. On the Mount of Transfiguration, here's Peter and two other men, and they see Jesus glorified. They see old saints of old standing before him, and Peter, everyone's silent. They're amazed at what they just saw. They just saw Jesus in his heavenly form, and their minds are blown, and Peter's like, hey, let's build three altars, one to Moses, one to Jesus, one to Elijah. Just absolutely out of the blue kind of conversations when Lazarus dies. You know, everybody's shocked. How did Lazarus die? And Peter speaks up and says, well, let's just go die with him. Every time there was an awkward silence, Peter just filled the void. I don't know. I'm a little bit like that, okay? Sometimes you don't know what to say, so you just say something. I don't know if that's what happened. And Peter was like, hey, if it's you, let me walk on water. And Jesus says, okay. I don't know. If I was Peter, I'd be like, oh man, he just called me out on that. He just called my bluff. But listen, everyone's terrified. This figure is coming. And Peter says, okay, if it's really you, Jesus, let me come out onto the water. And honestly, I think of Andrew, his younger brother. I think Andrew, when he heard Peter say, all right, Jesus, let me walk on water, Peter or Andrew would look at him probably like, what are you doing? Why would you even ask that? Why would you think to get out of the water and walk on the water to Jesus? Where does that even come from? And out of this awkward place of silence, what blows my mind is that Peter asked for this storm experience. It was all his idea. Last week we watched as a man was asked by God for a storm. God said, may I send this in your life? And Abraham said yes. But this morning the story is different because what we're actually seeing is a man not being asked by God, but a man asking God to step out into an impossible, deep, and turbulent situation. He is asking God that he might get out of a boat and walk on stormy waves that was terrorizing them on a boat. And now Peter is saying, well, hey, if you're out there, Jesus, let me get out of the boat. Let me come unto you. And what happens next is something that maybe no one, maybe not even Peter, saw coming. Notice what happens in verse 29. And he, Jesus, said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, these next five words blow my mind. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. So last week we grappled with the question, the very difficult question last week, really summed up in one statement, one question was this. Would you allow God to put you in deep water? If God came to you and set two decisions before you, we see that in the word tempt. God tempted Abraham. If God came to you and said, hey, it's your call. What do you want to do? Would you allow God to put you in deep water? But this morning we see we're faced with another and possibly more difficult question. Here's the question for this morning. Not would you allow him, would you ask him to put you in deep water? Because like I said, sometimes life pushes you over there. Sometimes God calls you over there. And sometimes it's completely our choice. Sometimes we have the opportunity to say, well, everybody's still here. Can I go a little farther? Can I experience a little more difficulty? Can I step out of my comfort zone, a very dry boat, a very, very comfortable boat, even under the circumstances, into this perilous storm, into this danger of sinking? Now listen, for some reason, Peter asked Jesus permission to leave the boat. He asked Jesus permission to step onto deep and troubled waters. Do we have that kind of faith? Do we have the faith that says, Jesus, my life is okay. I mean, it's not going super well, but at least I can somewhat control it. How about you make me go to a place that I am completely vulnerable? That's what we see happening here. So here's the application portion of this message, and we'll be done in just a few minutes. Why would Peter ask Jesus permission to enter into deeper waters? What was it that made this man look at that God on the water and say, I want to leave what I've got. It may not be the most comfortable. It may not be the safest, but I want to go out into an area where there's absolutely no control. Why would he ask that? Now, you've probably heard the statement, be careful what you ask for because you might get it. Now, stop for a minute. While that is true, we have looked at that in almost a secularistic threat, like a sadistic thing. Like, well, if you pray for that, God's going to do it. So I would just not pray for it. Listen, that's not God. God doesn't do that. God doesn't take your words and trap you in them. But if you ask God for deeper faith, he very patiently as a father may call you out onto the water because you started it. You might have gone to God and said, Lord, I want to love you more. Okay, come here. Lord, I want to trust you deeper. Come here. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying do it. I'm saying it's a good thing. I'm saying that Peter gets to say something none of us ever have ever been able to say. No other human being outside of Jesus has ever walked on water. We are reading about this man, and it is amazing and somewhat unbelievable in our mind, but he did it. I'm not saying don't. I'm saying if you ask for it, he may call you. So why? I got three answers. Why do I think that Peter ask Jesus to get out of the boat? Why should we ask Jesus for a deeper faith? Number one, maybe, this is just me speculating, maybe he just wanted to experience the impossible. Maybe he looked at the prospect and said, I've never done that. Andrew's never done, maybe he just wanted to one-up his brother, right? Probably not. But he probably thought, Andrew's never done that. James has never done that. I want to experience this. I want to step out. Perhaps Peter was intrigued by this supernatural thing that he was seeing and simply desired to know what it's like. Let me say this. Curiosity was built into us by God. And God will use that. I hope that you're here today, and like I've spoken to some of our newer Christians, that curiosity has peaked from a message like this. And you say, so wait, God can provide for my needs? God can... And there are ways that God can work in my life that cannot be explained by science or secularism. I'm game. I'll try that. Perhaps you're here and your marriage is crumbling, right? And you look at Jesus and the preacher gets up and he says, you know, God can fix your marriage in a supernatural way. And you say, I'm down to try that. I mean, what I'm doing is not working. I'm okay with trying that. And I believe with all of my heart, there ought to be some Christians who look at the supernatural power of God and say, I want to experience some of that. I want to know what it's like for God to answer my prayers, and I didn't tell anybody else about it. Right? That song, Are We Weary? Are We Heavy Hearted? Tell it to Facebook. Tell it to everybody so they could meet my needs. No. There are people in this room who look at the prospect that God could meet every one of their needs abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. And they don't go to everybody else. They just go to God because they're curious. They say, okay, you say you're God. You say you own the cattle on a thousand hills. Here's my bills. Here's my needs. God, would you meet them? And he does. I think there ought to be that curiosity in us that looks at the power of God, the supernatural ability of God, that he could bless you. Even if you gave abundantly above all that you had, God could bless you. And I think there ought to be some people who are willing to step out and want to experience that kind of power. I think about George Mueller. George Mueller was this kind of man. George Mueller was a however you say it. Good old George. Mueller, there it is. I'm not German, okay? I'm barely American to speak English, okay? George Mueller, he was a very well-cared-for preacher. But he wrote in his biography that he wanted to experience more. So he started taking in orphans off the street of London. No way to pay for them. He started taking in so many that he had to buy an orphanage. Here's what he wrote in his diary. He never wanted to share the needs because he simply wanted to experience the power of God in a way that could only have been God who had done it. He didn't tell the baker he needed bread, but the baker broke down in front of his orphanage and brought them bread at the moment that they needed. And this man wanted just to experience God. His diary talks about that curiosity and that thirst to experience this kind of faith that wasn't plastic or artificial, where I know if I tell this person, if I tell my parents, if I tell this person, they will meet my needs. That's not what George Mueller did. George Mueller said, okay, none of us have it. Let's just pray. He would get the kids together at the orphanage table and say, all right, we're going to pray and ask God to bless this food, when there was no food on the table and no food in the kitchen. And time and time and time again, God provided. I hope that makes you curious. I hope that you look like Peter, look out at that and say, I wonder what that's like. I wonder what it's like to just tell Jesus I have a need. I wonder what it's like to just trust that God alone could change this situation and then let God alone change it. I'm not saying that we can't help each other. I am saying that our prayers ought not be this superficial, hey, I'll tell you, but I'm also going to make sure all my needs are covered. I'm going to make sure my bases are taken care of. Listen, I'm not speaking that God should intrigue us in a mystic way, where we're trying to use him like a genie. What I am talking about is that as a child of God, it ought to intrigue you how strong your Father is. You ought to want to go up and be like, well, let me just see if God, how faithful he's going to be. Let me just tap into his power and see what he would do. Listen, if this is you, forgive me, have you ever considered trusting him and asking him to step out into deeper water? Are you curious about what God might could do in your life? So why did Peter ask God to get out of the boat? Number one, I think perhaps he just wanted to experience what the impossible was like. Number two, perhaps he thought he was better off where Jesus was. Think about that with me. This is a really logical way to look at this current state. The safest place in the world for Peter was where the man who could walk on water was. Boats can sink. I mean, boats possess a certain amount of security in the water. Boats float better than we do, right? Boats can hold together in storms better than we can. That was a relatively safe place, but the safest place, I think, in Peter's heart was, hey, if Jesus can walk on water, I'm safer where he is than where I am. I remember speaking with a missionary. He's in Baghdad, Iraq. And I remember he came through our church a couple years ago, and I sat down and talked to him. I said, why? What Baghdad? Like, you're taking your wife and your two daughters to Baghdad. I mean, this was years ago when it was even more volatile. And here's what he said to me. He said, if Jesus is in the Middle East, the safest place for me to be is to go be next to him. And the same thing is true in our life. I get that deep waters are tough. It is hard to survive out there. It is deep. It is scary. But if Jesus is there, it's the safest place you could ever be. And I think there's probably some young people in our church today who God might be calling them to the Middle East or to some mission field or to some place of service, or he's calling you to that. And you're scared because you're holding on to some form of security. This boat can float, but Jesus can walk on water. And if Jesus is there, the safest place we could ever be is out where Jesus is. I get your career is relatively stable. I get that you've got family as backup. I get that we have some things we can keep our safety in our safety net. But Jesus is way more secure than your retirement, your savings, or your plans. Truly speaking, a boat is just wood and nails. And while it feels secure, there is nothing supernatural about that provision in any way. But Jesus, the maker of heaven and earth, has the power to calm storms, the power to walk above storms, the ability to do anything, all power in heaven and in earth. And while we think our boat is safe, our Creator is far safer. So let me take a step back from my notes. This is scary, right? The idea of asking Jesus to put us in a place of pressure or insecurity. Logically speaking, you are safer there than outside of the will of God. You are safer following your Maker into the scariest of places, the deepest of waters, the most raging of seas. You are safer if Jesus is there. So really, it isn't all that crazy for Peter to think, if I can just get to Jesus, no matter where he is, I will be more safe there. And I don't know what you might be trusting in, but Jesus is safer than that. Jesus is safer than your doctors. He is safer than your wealth, your plans, or any security measure you have on your home. Jesus is safer. And so why did Peter get out of the boat? Well, I think perhaps he wanted to experience the impossible. I think number two, logically speaking, he figured he'd be safer where Jesus was. And lastly, I think the reason above all, and the reason most supported by Scripture, is that he just wanted to prove God. Look at verse number 28, if you would. Matthew 14, 28 says, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord," next four words, read them out loud with me, please, beginning at if. Ready? "If it be thou." "And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Listen, the reason, ladies and gentlemen, we should want to get out of the boat into deeper waters is simply to prove the power of our Creator. To prove how strong and wonderful and good the grace of God is. Stop and think with me. All the way back to the book of Ecclesiastes, God says it's better to be in the house of mourning than in the house of feasting. He says, because in the house of mourning, the heart is made stronger. Every time you and I have grown in our faith, it has been in that kind of water. Right? I mean, the kiddie pool is fun. If you're a brand new Christian, it's scary to death, but you're mostly safe. But way, 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 way out there, that's where you grow. And that's where we prove that God is capable. That's where we prove that God is faithful. That's where we see that God is really loving and he really does care for us because he's meeting our needs. Some of our needs we ought to pick ourselves. That's what happened. Peter needed to be able to somehow make the water support his foot. And he was stepping out saying, Jesus, I'm making this a need in my life. I am giving you what I have and I'm trusting that you will meet the need in my life. Listen, in Malachi chapter number 3, verse number 10, he's speaking specifically to the children of Israel and specifically about the topic of tithing. But this is not a sermon on money, but I want you to see what God says to them. He says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it." So God is speaking here and he says, "Bring me your money and prove me. I guarantee you," God is saying, "you will not outgive me. I guarantee you, you will not give more to me than I will give to you. I guarantee you will not trust me more than I have power to do in your life." And so God is saying to us today, and I think he's saying in that circumstance, Peter's saying this, he says, "Lord, I just want to see how strong you are. I want to see how good you are. And if that is you, do something impossible in my life." When's the last time you asked for that? You know why we don't ask for that? Because what comes with it? Deep water. "Lord, I really want deeper faith." Okay, give me your security. "Lord, I really want my children to love and serve you." Okay, let me touch them. Let me take something. Let me put you in a circumstance you lose all control. But here's the thing. God is good. He's always good. Listen, Peter wanted to prove the power of God for himself. He wanted to see that God could do it. But you say, well, Pastor, yeah, I get it, but didn't he sink? Yeah, he did. Peter did. Look at verse 30. And when he, speaking of Peter, saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me! And what's that next word? Immediately. You remember when they thought it was a ghost? Jesus straightway answered them. Jesus got off that mountain and came and walked on water to them. He answered them immediately, and now here Peter sinks. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth thou art the Son of God. Listen, here's the truth I want you to see as we finish. Deep water faith is hard to hold on to. I mean, Peter did it. I mean, he got out of a boat and he walked, I don't know how many steps, but he made it at least close enough to reach to Jesus. And he had walked on the water and he'd taken steps. But here's the thing I take away from that. You don't always have to have all faith. Jesus will come and rescue you when your faith fails. So the idea is scary to say, okay, let me step away from this. But what happens when you see the winds and the bills and the everything starting to come? And now you're like, oh, Jesus, I shouldn't have gotten out of the boat. I'm failing. Peter may have not made it as far as he thought he was going to make it, but rest assured, he made it just as far as Jesus knew he would. And so Jesus was there to rescue him. And here's the sweetness and the final takeaway I want you to get this morning. You're probably not going to be able to survive every storm. Even if you asked for it. Even if you said, all right, Jesus, I'm going to trust you here. And you will, Lord willing. But as that storm wears on, and I've had many people in my office who they entered into a storm with all the courage and all the faith, but as that storm wears on, and as this wave hits this side, and the rain comes down here, and the noise and the wind and all these things, where once there was great faith, now we begin to sink, Jesus is okay with that, and he is right there. And it's okay to cry out and say, okay, Lord, I need help now, save me. He will. So we are never left alone. We are never in danger, no matter how deep the water is. Because if he is there, we are okay. This whole thing of deep water isn't about our depth of faith. It isn't about our courage. It isn't about how much we can will our way through. It is about the fact that God will sustain us. Sometimes he'll ask something from us. Sometimes we'll invite it ourselves. Sometimes life will throw us over there. And it is okay to believe and then to, oh Lord, help me. As the man said, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. So I leave you with this encouraging thought. God will never leave you nor forsake you. He may call you out on the waters. You may call yourself out on the waters. Someone might push you out on the waters. But Jesus can walk on water. And Jesus reached down and he lifted up Peter and he walked him back to the boat. And did you notice what happened as soon as he got to the boat? Everything was calm. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid of deeper faith. And you ought to get to a place where you invite it into your life, knowing what comes with it. What comes with it? Wind, waves, and Jesus. And let come what may, if Jesus is there, we're going to be okay. Let's pray. Father, I ask now, God, that you would give us a hunger and a thirst for a deeper walk with you.